You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. I sound a bit like a broken record now, don't I?
I know, you need to mix it up.
I do need to mix it up a bit. We've been thinking about this, but anyway, the most important thing is we're here. If anyone's listening, hopefully we have some listeners, and we haven't...
all three of them.
Yeah, we haven't scared them off. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined by my co-host Josh Tindall. Mr. Reliable Josh over there in the corner, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. He's a man of many words, as you can tell. Anyway, on today's show, we've got plenty coming up for you. Action-packed with interviews today, and we're going to get onto that in a minute. There's lots of quality content coming your way today, so we hope you enjoy it. But first up on our menu is the Fulham pre-season match and a little look back over that. Josh, first and foremost, just having football back. We talked about it last week in the podcast. Just having football back was great, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Sorry.
You are about as many words, aren't you?
No, it's, yeah, really, really good.
Great to see all the fans back in the stadium. And actually quite a good attendance for a first pre-season game.
It was good, yeah.
And everything's good for you at the minute. Anyway, we saw some of the new signings. There were a couple that weren't involved in action for the first time. And that's always an exciting element of pre-season, isn't it? Five quality players through the door so far.
Yeah.
Sorry. Are you taking the mickey here? Sorry, you're trying to stitch me up here, I swear. Shall I just talk and just bounce off you every so often? You learn like once or twice every podcast.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, right. No, and also we had Charlist A and Charlist B.
We did, yes. And I know quite a few people were impressed with one of the trialists in particular.
Yeah.
And he featured again against Maidstone, but we'll get onto that in a minute. But isn't it unusual to have one and two trialists for your opening a couple of pre-season games? By contrast, Maidstone United had 11 trialists on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which I think says it all. We've got one at the moment. We had two, and we've now potentially only got one. I'm not
makes
I'm
our
sure
life easier.
Well, the commentary was quite difficult. I'm sure Dan Bentley can vouch for me on that one in the Maidstone game.
Oh, no, but I mean for us as a club, like, with...
It does, yeah, it does. I mean, I guess it shows that Andy knows who his targets are as well, and he wants to go out and get them, and potentially there's no need for trialists. But you've got to remember as well that a lot of good players have, well, I say a lot of, handful of good players have come in and as trialists and done really well. Omar Shomi, for example, by the way. Mm. You know, he was a trialist, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, well, a strange situation. But anyway, it's not one we're going to complain about because it's a lot easier to commentate on. Some debuts for them as well. We saw Teddy Sharman-Lowe and Grant Smith have 45 minutes each, which was good. We saw Sam Woods come on in the second half. Cole Pacowell was injured for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to see the bodies start to integrate, and you walk through the players' lounge and it's almost like everyone's a family already, isn't it?
Yeah, and one player that you did miss off that, Josh Pasley.
Oh, Josh Pasley.
He played well.
How can I miss him off? He's been probably the standout player for, you know, in terms of us overall over the past couple of games. And I think it's very, very clear to see what his game is about. And I know that he's really excited the supporters. And, you know, a couple of people, umming and ahhing when he came in, who didn't do their background research, possibly. Yeah. Or others that were maybe a bit sceptical because he jumped up from the National League South. But he'll have no problem settling back into the National League, where he has made over 100 appearances, by the way. So
yeah, I mean, he's a player that sort of has the attributes of Forster and Kellen Fisher. So it's sort of like...
And he's very strong.
Yeah.
Very pacey.
I think it's a really good signing.
Very direct.
Yeah, one of the best signings we've made this.
It's gone under the radar a bit, I think.
It has, yeah. But I think, like you said, no disrespect to having a Waterlooville, but if he came from a different team in our league or whatever, I think people would respect it a bit more.
Well, it wasn't only a debut for some of those players. It was a debut for the new home kit.
Oh.
It's gorgeous,
what
isn't it?
A beauty.
I think it's gone down really well, as has the alternative kit, which drew a lot of reaction when it was first released. It's a bit of a Marmite kit for some people. Some liked it, some didn't.
I think once we see the players out in that kit for the first time, that's when it'll be like...
I've already seen several hundred, well, not hundred, but, well, maybe actually that is the case. Loads of fans wearing it.
Yeah.
Loads of fans, particularly the young ones.
Yeah, no it's
disrespect
a really
to Ravens chat, who are also wearing it, but...
It's a really, really good seller.
It is.
Really good.
It is. Both kits, I think, are really nice in their own different ways.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm really looking forward, like you say, to see that away kit in action for the first time.
Yeah. Sorry, Matt, you've...
Excuse me, keeping me awake here. But anyway, it was debut for the new kit as well, and if you are looking to catch the goals from that game, I would strongly recommend going and watching them on YouTube, because we were treated to some brilliant goals for different reasons. Josh Pasley with a brilliant cross for Louis Dennis to open Bromley's pre-season account for the first team. Of course, we had the Dulwich game before that, where the young players secured and retained the Glyn Beverley Memorial Cup, which was brilliant. We talked about that last week. We then had James Vennings with, in my opinion, the pick of the goals, with a brilliant long-range strike. Just while there was a bit of a downpour as well, wasn't it?
Just a bit.
Yeah, which makes it a little bit better. Sorry, Josh. I know you were keeping dry over there in the gantry. So
yeah.
And then the third goal, excellent work from Reese Wyborn, one of our community coaches, I add every time I say his name, and the goal on a plate for George Alexander. Frustrating to concede three, but I think it was a good workout for the team, Josh, overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's the young stars of a Premier League team, so you can't complain too much. Obviously, the lads will be disappointed with the age gap and stuff, but it's still an under-21s team for a Premier League side. So, yeah, and then obviously last summer we were sort of level with Arsenal and Chelsea as well. So, I think it's good. It's good to be on level with those that are getting the best of the best treatment, aren't they? They're in the top level of football. So.
They were very good as well, I have to say. They were impressive, Fulham. One of the better under-21 sides that we've had here at Hayes Lane, I think, and some good goals scored from them as well. Now, moving on then to the second match in 4 days, and that was a visit of Maidstone United to Hayes Lane to provide a different test, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it was strange coming up against them after playing them last season, but yeah,
What was strange, or not strange, but what was difficult was the fact, like I said earlier, they had 11 trialists, two of whom started the game, and 9 of whom were on the bench, with only one player on the bench being a non-trialist, basically.
Yeah.
Fair play to the trialist goalkeeper, he did well.
He was good, yeah.
And the trialist who scored the goal, because Bromley went 1-0 down within the opening couple of minutes.
I mean, they're obviously going for a bit of a rebuild, aren't they? So I'm not too surprised, but yeah, I thought Maidstone did well. Like you said, the goalkeeper was good, and yeah, I think it was a good test for us. Obviously, we going into the league games, you know who you're coming up against, whereas with a friendly, especially with 11 trialists, you're sort of in the dark, aren't you? You can't really prepare for who you're going to come up against. It could be a trialist, could be an ex-Premier, like it could be playing in the Premier
could
League
last
season. Like, it could be anyone trying to regain fitness over the summer. Like, it's just could have come up against anyone. So it's difficult.
Could be the under-23's performance analyst jumping on the pitch for a few minutes. Anyway, that's an inside joke, that one. It was a good test. I think you're right, Josh. And it was a very different test to the one that Fulham posed, a more experienced set of players. And actually, quite a fiery game for a pre-season
game.
It was quite fiery, wasn't it?
It was, and it was a good atmosphere behind the goal as well.
You wouldn't have known it was a pre-season game with the fans singing behind the goal.
No.
It was a good atmosphere. Good. But it was quite a fiery game, quite a fiery pre-season game, which is a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah, there a couple of coming together as
well.
Yeah,
and a yellow
card
as well. Yeah. The referee pulling out. It's unusual in pre-season.
It's football, though, isn't it? You get sucked into that.
And, of course, thank you to everyone who attended that night. It was a 2-1 victory for Bromley on the night, who went a goal down, as we mentioned early on in that one, a couple of minutes in due to a defensive error. However, back on level terms with Adam Marriott slotting home from the penalty spot midway through the first half, sending that Maidstone trialist goalkeeper the wrong way, and then winning the game through a George Alexander header in the second half after a brilliant delivery from Ben Crowhouse, who was on corners on the far side that night.
Yep.
Actually, Josh, probably could have been a few more goals. There were some great saves from both Maidstone goalkeepers, particularly from headers.
Yeah, we tested them a few times, but I think Jude Arthur's had a couple of chances in the second half as well. So it was, we could have scored more, but it's a friendly at the end of the day, and the fitness is all that matters. And obviously it was good to see Cole Pukawa coming on in the second half after he picked up a bit of an injury. And I know that a couple of first team players, I think they were involved in the 21s game against Reading, just to regain a bit of fitness as well. So that's all we want. We just want all of our players available for that trip to Halifax.
Well, one man who is bang on form in this pre-season schedule is George Alexander, with two goals in as many games. And we took time to catch up with the Bromley young striker. Here's what he had to say. George Alexander, welcome to the Ravens Weekly podcast. It's great to have you here with us. Obviously, you've been on fire in this pre-season. We'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. But let's start from the very beginning. When we bring players on this podcast, we'd like to look at how they got involved in football. And there's various different elements for yourself, which we'll come on to in a minute. But when was it that you first realised you really wanted to do this and football was for you?
I think it's been from like a young age, really. I've never really known anything different. Like, just obviously, I've always gone to football, like dad, like dad's football, obviously. And then just always been around it. And it was never anything different for me. I'd never really done much other sports. It was just always football. And then obviously in school and that, you play other sports, but it was never like outside of school. I'd go to, I don't know, tennis or something. It was just always football. And then obviously when I signed Millwall, I was six, so it was from young.
Did you play for any teams before that?
I think I played for, I think it was Long Lane, but it was so quick. It was like, we had a good little team. And then by the time scouts or whatever it was back then just said, come to Mill, a couple of us went to Mill, a couple went to other teams, and that team was basically done at like six years old. I had to expect like change the whole new team as we all moved on quite quickly. So I didn't really do much Sunday league. Like, I've always said I kind of regret it, to be honest, because you know, like when you're in school and people are winning things, like, I go to my little brother's bedroom and he's got 400 medals. I've got no medals indoors, like literally from anything, just because it was all friendlies in academy.
When you first signed for Mill, was it apparent from the start that you were going to play up front, you were going to be a striker? Is that always what you've been, or did you experiment with different positions as well?
Yeah, no, I've always been a striker. Yeah, I've always played up front. I never played anywhere else. Like, to be fair, I don't mind playing other positions. I quite enjoy it. Like, just if you train, like, mucking around. I actually, like, all my brothers are goalies when growing up, so it's probably my fault because I kicked the ball at them in the garden. But, like, yeah, I've never really played any other position but from up front.
And you said you joined Millwall when you were six. That's an incredibly long time because, of course, you came here straight after you left Millwall. That's an incredibly long time to be associated with the club.
Yeah, I think it was 14 years. Like, played every age group there and then obviously come here, yeah.
And how was that 13, 14 years and as an experience for you and shaping you as a person as well as a player?
Yeah, I think, like, Millwall gets a lot of stick for that type of thing. It's like, but once you're inside the club, you realise how much, like, disciplined, like, I'm not saying like I was a bad kid, but I wasn't the best in school. And like, I feel like that, if I didn't have that football, I could have gone down and different things. Whereas that kind of shaped me. Like, I knew that if I got in trouble, I'd go to football and I'd get in trouble from them. So it kind of kept me like on that path kind of thing.
And you're in a very small percentage of players that actually make it to be a professional, and that's testament to your hard work. Did you ever have any kind of doubts? Did you ever think about another career on as well as football? Or is it just, you're going to make it, you're driven to do it, and here you are today?
Yeah, I think it was that, really. Like, I wasn't, not like I wasn't naughty in school, but I was like, I had a bit of fun in school, and I just never really, I'm quite bad at like, so I've always said this, I'm good at like, so say I went into a maths lesson or something, and by the end of that lesson, I'd know everything that I was learned in that lesson, I'd be the best in the class, but could never do exams or anything. So I go into exam, I look at a paper and I think, like, I don't even know what is going on in this paper. I don't remember anything we've learnt. So it was, yeah, from young, it was really football for me.
And I know you get asked this question all the time and you must be tired of it, but we have to talk about it. Obviously, your dad being a fantastic footballer, a striker as well. What a brilliant role model for you to look up to. And that must have benefited you in a lot of ways. But I guess as well, does it kind of put pressure on you a little bit?
Yeah, like I think I've said this to a few people. It was a hindrance in school, really. Like, school football, I didn't take serious. That was my only time that I'd have fun, really. Like, try and do things I wouldn't do when I was at Mill. Like I'd play centre back, I played in guard, I played centre mid for school. And like I'd always get told, oh, you're at Mill because your dad. So it was more of a hindrance than anything. I didn't care, but like people would say, and I'd just kind of laugh. I'd think like you obviously, it was more jealousy. I had quite a lot of jealousy growing up from that, just because I didn't really take football in school serious. Like we had a little like a school team, and the people that were playing, like other academy boys, would play in their positions and things like that. So they would look very good, where I'd be playing centre half, trying to kick people, and it was like different. Like, oh, you're not that good. You're at Mill because your dad, kind of thing.
And you talked about when you were growing up, and I guess you didn't really know any different. Followed your dad around, watching him play. That must have been a great experience for you as well.
Yeah, it was. So I used to go. So to be honest, mum and dad split up when I was young. So I've lived in a few different places that Hull, Exeter, places like that. Couldn't even tell you what it looked like. Like I can't remember any of it. So obviously, when they split up, I live with mum and. I got to games as I started getting older. I'd go with dad's mum because they went to every game. And then that was where, as I got older, it was more Millwall that I started going to when my dad signed for Millwall. That I started going to more games just because it was local and things like that.
When you talking about a little bit later down the line, when you kind of got towards the first team at Millwall and you were playing under 23s football, how was that as an experience for you?
Yeah, it was obviously a good experience. I think I was 17 when I started getting in around with, obviously, Neil Harris was the manager at the time. Started travelling, sometimes being left out and then finally getting on the bench. I think the first time I was on the bench was Everton in the FA Cup. So, and we won 3-2, so it was wow. Like, I always remember that year I'd watched the World Cup all summer and Jordan Pickford was playing and I love England, watching England play. So just being around, walking down the tunnel and he was there and things like that, it was amazing moment, really, just in that.
And talking of being around people like that, we talked about your dad already and the impact that he had on you, but also towards those sort of later age groups at Millwall, you must have been playing around some other fantastic players as well.
Yeah, there was, I've always said, the level of the Championship is incredible. Some the sessions, and you think that is, you got Jed Wallace, Sean Williams, they were just they were a joke at football. It was watching them every day was wow, really.
When we talk about Mill, we have to talk about the fans, some of the most loyal and dedicated fans in English football, really. And like you say, sometimes don't get the respect that they deserve. But it's an incredible fan base, isn't it? And they're incredibly, just like I say, loyal, dedicated and very, very loud as well.
Yeah, some of them, as I said, when I was on the bench, I remember going to warm up against Everton. It's sold out then. Went to warm up and the noise and the place, warming up. I've grew up around it. I'm a Mill fan, so. I've grew up going to the games, away games. I've seen it, but it gets shown, obviously, when you watch it on the TV again in them big games and you're it's 20,000, it's obviously a lot of people, but I've been to, and there's 10,000 there. I think the 10,000 make more noise than the 20,000 sometimes. It's just because they're more loyal, 10,000, than the 20,000.
I was just going to say that, actually. You come across a lot of footballers that it's their career, but they're not actually football fans. They don't watch football outside of it, but it sounds like you very much are.
Yeah, I got four brothers, but two of them at a minute are going home and away every week. Me all mad, that's what I did. A few of my friends used to get a train. I remember, just going every week, really, home and away. Once I got old enough.
We talked as well about coming here to Bromley after such a long time at Millwall, and I guess that departure from Millwall, was that quite a difficult thing to kind of move on from? How did you kind of reflect on it towards the end?
It actually wasn't, just because I went from being around a first team, change of manager and things like that, and I was just training 23s and kind of, not that it got 23s was easy, but training sessions were a bit slow, not all the boys were good players, but it just became a bit of kind of didn't enjoy football for a little bit, just because I wasn't at where I was. So I'd gone backwards, I felt, in my time. And that's when I come here and it was just a fresh, challenge, new start, and started enjoying it again.
It's been brilliant to see you play for Bromley and actually for people to remember that you're still so young, actually, as well. How would you reflect on your first kind of year at Bromley when you first came here? And I guess the difference in the level as well, obviously coming into men's football and also training around some brilliant players and some great people to look up to as well, with a really dedicated coaching team that give young players a chance.
Yeah, no, that's exactly that. Like, when I come here, I obviously knew Dad played with Danny and that, so had that connection. He was come down, see how, if you like it. Basically said I enjoyed it straight away. And then just like men's football, like, yeah, I've not scored the goals that I wanted to score. Like, got a few, but I feel like now I've grown into it. I feel like I've grown into my body a bit more, and I'm kind of ready to take that step where I take on goals. Like, I feel like I was playing quite well, but it just wouldn't go in the net for me sometimes. And I was thinking, like, I'd go home and I'd think that, like, played well, but doesn't really matter as a striker if you play well, like, if you don't score.
I remember actually one of those games last year against Torquay, you were absolutely unplayable. You could have had a hat-trick in the first 20 minutes and you were definite man of the match that day. But I guess it is, as a striker, you're judged on your goal tally, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's at any level. It's like, if I'm not scoring goals, like, I'm not going to go to the next level or take Bromley to the next level. So it's like, that's what you're paid to do, really. Like, I can, like you said, that game against Torquay, I was probably my best performance in a Bromley shirt, but I didn't score. So there's probably games where people say I played better because I scored a goal, but I actually didn't.
There have been some really good goals along the way, and one of them, Solihull away with that overhead kick. That's got to be one of your favourites, surely.
Do you know what? It is, but I still think my deflected one, all the shot when it finally just went in, like, was my favourite one. And probably say Grimsby as well. I enjoyed Grimsby one just because of the, like, crowd and things like that. But probably the Aldershot ones, like, would beat that Solio one. Although it was the best technically goal, it was just relief to finally put one in for me.
And how have you found your relationship with the fans and other people around the club? Is it something you relish playing in front of every Saturday?
Yeah, like, I've always said, like, I love playing in front of fans and stuff like that. I don't mind getting abused, like, and things like that. And I prefer it exposed me on. That's the type of player I am, like, to get around people.
Well, Grimsby being a great example.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the abuse you get, I don't mind it. And then obviously the fans here, it's good to see. Like, when I first come here, we was getting probably 1,500. Now it's probably over 2,500, 3,000 every week, isn't it? So it's rising. You can see it already. Like, they're fan, but like, younger fans now, from wherever they're from, like, area wise, are coming to the games, and we got a bit of, like, noise behind the goal now. It looks like it's going in the right direction.
And what I think is really nice with this story here is we talked about how you watched your dad when you were growing up, and now your dad's watching you, and I know he's very proud of what you've achieved and what you're doing. And it must be nice to have that connection with your dad as well.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's like with anyone. Like, I've kind of got better connection as I've got older with my dad, just through talking more. But, like, I've had, my mum comes to every home game. Even, like, growing up, my stepdad as well, give him a shout out as well, because he took me to a lot of football, like, where my mum couldn't take me to. So it's like, but with my dad, yeah, it's like, obviously him playing in the game, he knows if I need to say something because I'm not playing to people or to the gaffer, he can tell me, like, George, you need to go see him. Or, and it's that bit of support that some people obviously don't have with not having the experiences.
And that's really nice, isn't it? You say your mum comes and watches every home game. That's really nice for you. And we have quite a lot of players actually here whose families come and watch them. It's a nice family environment, isn't it?
Yeah, like, mum goes in Broomfields and answers nothing, like, can't moan. It's like, it's nice. It's nothing. There's never trouble here, is there? It's like, it's a family club, really. So it's good for her to come, my brothers, my sisters. So, yeah.
Let's talk about your couple of loan spells then last season, where you absolutely banged in the goals for Welling United and Slough Town. Yeah. How did you reflect on those two spells towards the end of last season?
Yeah, I went to Welling and it started really well. Like, went there, obviously I scored against Dartford, which is like their derby, isn't it? So scored in that, and I got a hat-trick a couple of weeks after, and I actually got ill, so I had a bit of falling out with the manager, but as a whole, it was a good loan. Like, that, the fans seemed to be good with me. I enjoyed playing there. And then obviously going on to Slough was, well, you know how we got it done in the end.
30, very last minute.
30 seconds left. And Scotty, to be fair, like, was brilliant with me. Just kind of took me in. And then I'd go there Tuesday, Thursday, and after training here. And it was tough, but kind of made me grow up a bit, like, that I need to start scoring goals. And I went there and done that. So it was really, like, Scotty kind of gave me the freedom to be the lone striker, and I relished it there, to be fair.
And you've come in, you've come back in, you came back in towards the playoff period, and then of course you've come back in now. Just talking of those playoffs, it's an incredible achievement for the club to get that far, but I know for a fact all of you were absolutely gutted after that Chesterfield game.
Yeah, obviously, like, I was still coming in every day with the boys, and like I was saying, we're gonna, like, I was still like kind of part of it, and I was saying, Lee, I think you're gonna do it. And at that point, once we got into it, I generally thought like we was gonna win it, just because no one backed us to win it. It was like, oh, Bromley are in it, like they'll be out and they'll lose to Woking or they'll lose to Chesterfield, they'll be gone. But obviously it ended how it did, but things went against us. But on another day it could have gone right. But everyone was even like, not being a part of it for a few months, coming back, it was still devastating. Like, you want to play in the league, and obviously last year didn't work, but hopefully this year.
It's really interesting to hear how you feel those loan spells have really spurred you on, and you're coming back now to a management team that really believes in you, and you've scored twice in the opening two pre-season games, which has been brilliant to see. Two very different goals. Got to give Reece Wyborn some credit for that first one. Must have been one of the easiest goals you've ever scored.
Yeah, I actually said to Maz. Maz said to me when I scored it, he went, "Cole, you nearly missed it." And I think I looked back at it when it got posted, and I thought, "Yeah, I did put it a bit higher." But sometimes there are worse things. Just because you can't really see the ball, like, it's a great ball, but the centre half's in front of me, and I'm just hoping it's just going to hit my foot and go in. But it's the most embarrassing thing if it goes over, isn't it? So it's like easy but hard kind of thing. Yeah,
interesting perspective actually. And the second goal, very different one. Again, a great ball, but it's all about the movement, which is exactly what you did. You found yourself that space and planted the header in.
Yeah, like I do a lot of finishing, and that was Steve, and I feel like that's something I need to add. It's more headers. Scoring headers, and I've actually got a pretty good jump and things like that, so I need to start adding that, and hopefully from that one the other night I can start adding more.
We're now well into pre-season. We talk about it with all the players. You've got the nasty bits out of the way in terms of the runs around Norman Park. That can't be much fun in the heat.
You know what? I do dread it. I'm actually a good runner. I'm obviously, people see that I run around a lot, and I'm the worst long distance runner. I'm not. In my head, I am. So I'll get to it. I'll be sitting indoors the night before thinking, like, we've got Norman Park tomorrow. I'll get there and it'll be all right. Once it's over, you're like, oh, thank God for that. But I actually did well. But yeah, it is a dreading thought. Like, it's the first thing I think of when the season ends. I'm thinking, oh, we've got to go back to Norman Park.
Luckily, that bit's over now, isn't it?
I think 100%.
And just finally, it's been so good catching up with you. I just wanted to kind of rekindle that Millwall connection again. Of course, Millwall coming to Hayes Lane this Saturday. We've got the under-18s playing our under-21s, and then Millwall 11 playing yourselves. It's great to have that kind of relationship with the club, isn't it? And the relationships between the two. We've seen players come one way and go the other way. We've obviously got Dunny on the coaching staff as well. So it's sure to be a good day all round, and a match I'm sure you're looking forward to.
Yeah, it should be a good day. Like, as you said, hopefully people can come and watch the younger Millwall team, younger Bromley team, and it'll be a competitive game in that one. And then obviously the first team versus the first 11 of their whatever they send down. Both games will be entertaining, so hopefully people can come and watch both if it's... They can, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. George, it's been brilliant to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
Well, a lovely sit down, a lovely interview
with
George.
That was a really, really good interview, Mark.
Really, really good. I really enjoyed that. And that was unscripted completely. And yeah. We're not laughing and joking. No. Here. That was genuinely completely unscripted.
Yeah, but like you said in the interview, we do forget that these players have football, like they support their teams as well, and it was interesting to hear his view on supporting Millwall and going home and away with them. Obviously it's relevant with us playing Millwall on Saturday, and yeah, it was good to sit down with him, because I think we said after the interview his personality has changed since those loan spells, and I think, like he said, as a striker, he judged on goals, and
I think it's helped him become more confident.
Yeah,
before, and believe in himself a bit more.
Yeah, I think I remember doing a sort of Instagram thing with him before he went to Welling, and I think it was needed. It was needed that he needed to get away, show what he can do, and then come back. And that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, I'm impressed with how he's been over pre-season, and hopefully. And really exciting season for him.
Absolutely. And something else that's exciting that we referred to in that interview is, of course, the visit of Millwall here to Hayes Lane this coming Saturday. It's all about the Millwall connection, the Millwall-Bromley connection at the moment, isn't it? There are a number of players who, as we said in the interview, have played for both clubs. Some of them have come here after being at Millwall and others have gone the other way. And of course, that extends to the coaching staff as well. So it's brilliant to have that kind of relationship with such a great club and such a great neighbour as well. And we look forward to welcoming both their under-18s and an 11 from Millwall on Saturday. The kick-off for Millwall under-18s who take on Bromley under-21s is 11:30 on the stadium pitch. And the doubleheader is complete with the kick-off of the main game on the stadium at 3 o'clock. Do be there. It's going to be a great day of football for sure. And hopefully a good turnout from both sets of supporters as well.
Yeah, members obviously go free to those, but non-members, it's one ticket for both games. So, you know, two games in one
day.
Buy one,
get one free.
Yeah.
Basically, two for the price of one.
Can't complain with that.
There we go.
And it's unsegregated as well.
It is.
So
something else
if you've got a Millwall friend, but you want to stand with them.
You can.
Sorted.
You can. Pre-season's relaxed, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also,
we're all friends.
Something we can't complain about is the fact that we had time to sit down with manager Andy Woodman this week. And I think it's the first time we've done that, isn't it, in this format since last season.
Yeah.
And Andy loves coming in here, having a chat, and just, I think even the players just relax a little bit when they sit in this environment with us here on the podcast. Not that it's anything to do with the hosts.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, it's always a pleasure to catch up with Andy. And here's this week's instalment. So, Andy, welcome back to the Ravens Weekly Podcast. It feels like it's been a while, but you enjoyed these interviews last year, didn't you?
Much better than those boring, mundane interviews you normally do with me.
Oh,
much
thanks. Better. It's always nice to get a bit of
I think it's the interviewer. I think that's the problem.
Well, at least you can show a bit more of your personality on these things.
Well, yeah. We're a little less restricted, aren't we? But anyway, in all seriousness, pre-season is well underway now. But for supporters who maybe weren't at the open training session, it started a lot earlier than that Fulham match, didn't it?
Yeah, we've been crafting hard, to be honest. We had a Millwall game behind closed doors. And we've been working really hard. The boys have really put in some mileage. So from a fitness point of view, we're in a good place, I believe. We're not quite where I want us to be footballing wise at the moment, but that said, we're probably exactly where I think we should be at the moment. So if that sounds a bit weird, but we certain parts of our team are functioning as I want and other parts are not quite there yet, which is what pre-season is about. So it's all about the 5th of August.
And part of that early section of the pre-season schedule, if you like, was the all the runs around Norman Park, and we've already heard from the players how much they enjoyed that.
Yeah, they don't stop moaning, do they? Do you know what I mean? Imagine them having to do a real job. It's been tough. I won't bear no grudges in there. It's been tough, but pre-season should be. If a player's turning around to me saying I've really enjoyed pre-season, then I know we haven't worked them hard enough. And to date, I've not had one player turn to me and say, I've enjoyed pre-season, Gaffer. So, it's been hard work. And credit, I must give credit to our medical sports science team, Tom and Jack Holland. They put a plan together in the summer, which you do at, you know, clubs, well, certainly the clubs I've been at, an off-season programme. The players have adhered to that and worked that through the summer. So as much as everyone thinks they're on their summer holidays, they're still working hard. In the environment they're in, sticking to the plan that we've put in place and the mileage they've got to do. So they've done that and they've come back in good shape and now they've kicked on again. So, yeah, really, really happy with all that side of things.
It's brilliant to see. And the open training session I referred to a minute ago, I guess, gave fans a slight snapshot of an insight into what a training session is like for the players, which they may not have been able to appreciate before.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame in one breath because we'd been on the back of a really tough week, so we had to limit what we'd done there, and it wasn't the most mentally taxing session we put on. But at least the fans got to see how they warm up. They do the rondos, which is like a small keep ball session to start them, you know, get them going. Then they do the proper warm up with the sports science guy, then some passing drills, and then into a game situation. There's so many variations we do. I think we've done a bit of keep ball in there as well, from memory. So there's so many variations. I mean, I think people generally, and there's no reason why they shouldn't think otherwise, that we just turn up on a Saturday and we play. And there's a lot of work and preparation goes into Saturday, and then hopefully the outcome is good. But yeah, it was good, and we had a few people here. I was surprised. It was nice to see so many people here. That was a really nice nice day, and you know, to interact with them after in Broomfield was lovely.
And you talk about the players not enjoying the pre-season schedule itself. One thing they are enjoying is being part of this group and being in this environment. And it's good to see everyone in good spirits around the place every day.
Most definitely. I mean, look, the environment's lovely here. As we know, we've got probably, you know, we've got lovely facilities, probably the best in the league. So that's one thing. I've got to create a culture here, which I've done since I've been here, a winning culture. And a culture that has standards and respect levels for everyone around the place. So it's important they buy into that. And you'll see in probably next week or 10 days, there'll be a meeting that I'll be doing right across the club, so everyone knows what I expect from everybody. You know, behind the scenes staff, bar staff, everyone. So we're all on the same page as far as the culture of this football club and the DNA of this club. And I think if everyone's on that page, and the players know that everyone's on that page, then they will then hopefully set the standards that we all adhere to as well. So I want to still be one, and that is really important, and all have a goal and a target we have to hit, and make sure that we understand and realise why we come to work every day. You know, I think sometimes footballers at football clubs, they go to football clubs, they go to training, and they just think it's like, I'm going to training, get my training done, with no real thought or purpose beyond what they're doing. You're training, preparing for a game at the end of the week, and that game at the end of the week correlates to points, which get you out the league. I think everyone, believe it or not, forgets that. You know, they kind of just go through the motions. It's training, it's a game, it's training, it's a mate. No. We've got to have a plan here. We've got to have a target we've got to hit. And we've done that since I've been here. And to date, that's worked well. And we're going to just crank that up now over the next few weeks, ready for that 5th and 5th of August.
Looking forward to it very much. You've welcomed so far 5 new signings into the building. How's everyone settling in so far?
Yeah, they seem like they're settling in okay. You know, I think we've got a nice group of players that are very good like that. They welcome people in. They're all at different stages though, fitness and etc. So, you know, we have to understand that Sam Woods has had an ankle injury, so he's behind a little bit on that front, and he's trying to play catch up a little bit with his fitness and that. Cole, you know, he's come back from Maidenhead, you know, from 2 nights a week training to full-time training. So he's, again, trying to catch up to the group, which is already a super fit group. And then we've got Josh Pasley, who's come in and set the place on fire. You know, he's up and down like a yo-yo on that wing-back role. So he's done well. So overall, you know, we're quite happy. You know, the two goalkeepers, they work with Brandon, and they both look, you know, like they're in a good place. What I like about the goalkeeping department, which we haven't had, just on that with Grant and Teddy, they both look like they're trying to get this number one shirt, and that's what I want. And I want that right across the team, right across all the positions. And we never had that last year. So I've got 2 number ones here, which is a real, you know, I think a real step forward for us as a club. So I'm looking at them both closely. They're both training properly. They're both playing the games and pushing to be the one that starts. So that'll be interesting how that one pans out. But they're both very, very good goalkeepers. So overall, yeah, I'm quite happy at the moment with where we're at. But there's still a bit more to be done. We'll keep working on that behind the scenes.
I was just going to say, even before the pre-season training started, you've already got 5 in, but you and your management team were working really hard to identify these targets and pursue them, and that's still going on now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I tried sort of, one or two people come up to me about the interview I'd done earlier in the pre-season about trying to sort of let people know the process. You know, we can't just go and get players and they just give them to us. It doesn't work like that. So at the moment, you know, we've got probably 6 to 8 players, you know, ticking in the background. The player says he wants to come. The clubs are saying you can have them, but we've got to just wait and see what the first team manager of that club's going to do with them. And then you've got the dreaded agent who says, I can get you something better, but doesn't always. So we've got all of those in the background going, you know, there's plates spinning. And we've got to make sure that out of those 8, we come away with 2 or 3 if possible, you know, and that will change. You know, I've been around this game long enough, the other side of the fence, at Premier League clubs, I know how it works. So at this side of the fence, where we're begging and borrowing and crying and screaming to get their players, you know, we'll continue to do that. And that'll go right to the last week. And even then it might go into the end of August, because their window shuts the end of August, a lot of those clubs. So that process, we have to keep being patient. And then we've got the sort of, when do I make the move to go and get another player that's not quite the player I wanted, because I'm not sure if we're going to get him. And then you get the other player, and then that player becomes available. It's like, it's so, honestly, people have no idea of how much goes into just getting a player on loan or into this club. It's very difficult. And that's for all the clubs in this league. You know, we're all trying to get a player into our clubs, and the big clubs hold all the cards. So that process is ongoing. And you see me, Matt. I'm on my phone 24/7.
Yeah. Come out for that.
Speaking to everybody at every club and every favour I can call in. And I'll continue to do that. You know, I enjoy that bit of it, getting players across the line.
Well, it's an exciting part of the year for the fans, especially looking at all these new faces coming in. You've had two matches in front of the supporters now to look at and judge. How did you find those two against Maidstone and Fulham?
Well, there was slightly two different games. The Fulham game, we did okay. I didn't think we was bad against a Fulham team that was young. I think we should lose sight of that. Attacking wise, I thought we looked good. Defensively, I thought we looked poor. I'm going to be honest, I thought we got work to do in the defence. So, but actual fitness wise and some of the quality of our play, I was quite happy with against Fulham. And then we come to the Maidstone game, which was a little bit more realistic of what we're going to be faced in the season of styles of play. And I have to put my other head on here. We fatigued the lads going into that game. They trained before. They trained the day before. You know, they'd done 12K the day before. They'd done, I think, 5K before they'd even kicked a ball. And then done another 8K, you know, 7K in the game. To a fan, you might think, well, that's only 13K. It's quite a lot. That's what a top midfielder player does in this, you know, in this league or in the league above. So the whole team's doing that. So they was fatigued going into that game. And you could see the way we started the game against Maidstone, we was all at sea. And Maidstone, obviously, were fresh, hadn't done what we had done, come into the game and run all over us early doors. And we couldn't get to grips with it. We made mistakes. But that is what I wanted to happen. I wanted us to be exposed to errors and exposed to mental fatigue and physical fatigue. So with all of that in mind, it flagged up that we were a little bit vulnerable at the back at times, a little bit open. And I understand why we were, because I set the team up at the moment to be all attacking. Now we've got to strip it back and make sure that we are going back to what we are, still going the attacking side, but make sure we tighten up at the back, because our foundations have always been built on clean sheets, and that's what we're now going to put the next sort of block of work into, that sort of making sure that the back line is as it should be with the goalkeeper, etc.
Well, it's a really good schedule of pre-season fixtures, and coming up next, of course, is the visit of Millwall. You mentioned earlier the team already played behind closed doors there as well. And that's going to be a good test as well, and hopefully a good amount of people from both clubs coming down to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be nicer if the weather's nice. I think we always get a good turnout on a Saturday. Quite a few Millwall fans are frequent down here as well, so that'd be good. And we've got a nice relationship with Millwall. We've got, you know, I think it's quite obvious we've got the Alan Dunns and the Byron Websters, etc. But we've had a few players from there, and we've sent a few players back from loan, and young Frankie's gone there from our place. So the relationship's very healthy between us and Millwall. So we're looking forward to that game. That'd be very good. If it's their under-23s that come in, that'd be very, very good. They've got some good players in that team. So yeah, looking forward to that. And I personally think, with respect to Fulham, that would be a step up in test from the Fulham game, of quality, and probably not as physical as the Maidstone game, but it will still be a very good game for us, and that hopefully will expose us to problems that we're going to come up when the season starts.
Well, Andy, it's always great to catch up, especially in these surroundings. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Look forward to speaking to you in the season.
Moving on, jingle time to Community Corner.
Oh, I wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready.
We'll give that a miss this week.
Okay. Do-do-do-do-do. That's the jingle this week.
That was really good, Matt.
Do you think we should just keep that as the jingle each week now? Forget about
Yeah, I might clip that down and you know, have that as the...
You could do. You, I give you my permission to do that.
Cool.
I give you my permission. Anyway, thank you to Andy for his time. I'm sure a lot of you wanted to hear some of the points that Andy covered in that. And of course, we'll keep this open dialogue with Andy throughout pre-season, throughout the season. And we know it's appreciated by you. And Andy enjoys doing it as well, as we said earlier on too. So, Community Corner. I just wanted to start off with a huge thank you to the Hayes Lane Ultras and Wednesday Night Ballers who took to the stadium pitch last Friday night to take part in a friendly and raise money for the Community Sports Trust and have an impact on all of the lives that we're trying to change in Bromley and all of the fantastic projects and things that we've got going on. And we'll hear more about a couple of those in a few moments' time. But a big thank you to Martin Ramsey and everybody else who was involved in the running of that. I know there were so many supporters, too many to mention, but a big thank you to Martin and those that put that together, raised this money for the Community Trust and had a brilliant time as well. And I know it was really close on the night, whereas in 2019 it was not close. I think the score was 10-1 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 3-2, I think.
3-2 to the Hayes Lane Ultras, I believe. So a really good game of football. And yeah, again, thank you to everyone who took part. Thank you to everyone who donated. And
£650.
£650. It's a great job. And thank you to you all. It's very, very much appreciated. And that will all go to changing the lives and impacting the lives of people in Bromley. So thank you so much once again. And one of those projects that we're running here at the Community Trust is the Bromley FC Community Veterans Hub, which is, as it says on the tin, providing support for armed forces and other veterans. And I think it's a really important project for us to run. I don't think there's enough support for veterans in the country, really, and especially from a football perspective, which is such a unique, in such a unique position to act as a vehicle to make change and create change. And that's what we're trying to do here. Bromley has a very high population of veterans, and these are only the veterans that have identified themselves and disclosed themselves as veterans. And I think it's important we do something to support them and help these very important people in our society. And the main driving force behind that has been a man called Graham Moore, who became known to us here at the club a few months ago. And Graham and I have spent a lot of time planning, and he's spoken to the chairman, who's a former colleague of his. And we've got this up and running, and that's largely down to Graham's determination, hard work and ability to smile and bring people together. And it was a pleasure to catch up with Graham again for the podcast. And here's our little discussion on the Veterans Hub. Graham Moore, welcome back to the Ravens Weekly podcast. I say welcome back. You did join us before. A few months ago when you had an idea, you got involved with the club here, you and I came to meet as well, and we've been doing to work together on this, but a lot of progress has been made since that point. Yes. We'll come on more to that in a minute. But what is it that I'm talking about, first and foremost? What is it that we've set up here?
So we've set up a monthly drop-in for veterans in the Armed Forces community. Excuse for the voice. I've lost the voice, and I'd love to say it was Tuesday night cheering on against Maidstone, but I think I just lost my voice. So basically it's getting together like a monthly drop-in for veterans in the community in around the Bromley area. Something I feel quite passionate about. You know, we have a special bond when we're seven in the forces, and that camaraderie. And when we leave the forces, we tend to miss that. So it's just a chance of maybe getting together once a month within the club, and then see where that takes us.
And the progress that I mentioned since we last spoke on here is that the launch has now happened. And what a fantastic launch it was. And we had some amazing guests, didn't we, and other organisations that came down to join us on the day.
Most certainly, yeah. It could have gone any better, really. You know, obviously a great surrounding, great hosting from the club, which was fantastic and well received, and a good turnout in general. So we had, as you say, some special guests. We had the Mayor of Bromley, Councillor Mike Botting, who is the Armed Forces Champion at Bromley Council, which is really aligned to what we're trying to do here. So Mike not only loved what we're doing in terms of the drop-in, but he loved the club. So much so, I had to put back my opening address for half an hour.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So while he did the tour, and all I could see was his head and shoulders pass above me. But I was with him again this Tuesday in his chambers, and he's really enthusiastic about what we're trying to do. So he's coming again on next Friday, and then he's got the dates for the remaining drop-ins for the rest of the year. And out with any council commitments, he's going to come and help us.
Brilliant to see, isn't it? When you get the support of especially a new mayor of Bromley who's just come in as well. And it was fantastic to welcome Councillor Mike Botting here to Hayes Lane.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other organisations as well.
Most certainly. And what was fantastic to see, we had a detachment of Chelsea pensioners come down for the day, which, you know, they're iconic, they really are. And it was quite funny. We saw Andy Whitman coming down the stairs and he caught sight of them. And he said, Graham, is that the Chelsea pensioners? So I was going to say he asked, but he demanded a photograph.
He did. Yes, yeah, and I got it one. As well. Yeah. Make sure I get it, he said.
So that was great. You know, and you know, that their presence alone just lifted, you know, that the mayor. And it was also great to welcome a lot of veteran and armed forces organisations there. And that's what the launch was all about, really. So I mean, I've written them down, there's lots. So we had people from Defence Medical Welfare Services, Guys at Thomas's Trust, so Armed Forces Programme. So they do some great work with veterans and armed forces community in and around the London hospitals, but also in the community, which was fantastic. So they very much want to work with us in the reach within our Bromley area. We have DWP here, Department of Work and Pensions, some are from the Poppy Factory, Operation Courage, Fighting Chance, and ASDIC, which is the Association of Service Drop-In Centres, of which we're a proud member of.
We are now, aren't we? Yeah.
We certainly are. So that was great. And then there was a couple that couldn't make it, but they've committed to come over the next couple of meetings. So that was Fighting With Pride and Royal British Legion. So everyone wants to get together with us. And I think uniquely, we called them Team Bromley. So that gathering there will take us forward, really. And that'll be our sort of team of support partners. And then we can signpost the veterans for any support and help they need going forward, which is great. So that was the objective on the launch, just to get the support network together. And going forward, it's all about, let's get the veterans together.
We also had, on top of those partners and very important people, we had a couple of Bromley supporters as well, who were veterans themselves, in Anthony and John.
And that was the added bonus. So albeit it was to attract, you know, the partners, because of the Ravens connection, then they were interested and they heard about it, and it was fantastic to show them what we're all about. And so I think I said before, their official service numbers are BV Bromley Veterans 001 and BV 002. They're the first couple of members, which is great, and hopefully that will reach into hundreds.
And on a slightly more serious note, what we're doing here, I guess, is particularly important. When the mayor signed the Armed Forces Covenant for Bromley, he talked about just how many veterans there are in Bromley in comparison to other areas of the country. And actually, those are only the ones who've disclosed themselves and identified themselves as veterans, which makes this and what we're doing here even more important.
Yeah, most certainly. And you know, when we had not the idea but the wish to do this, and we spoke to yourselves and Robin, it was a, you know, we knew that there would be quite a few veterans within the community, but some of the figures that's published and in talking to the local government and talking to the mayor, so that in the Bromley area it's the highest proportion of veterans within the London area, and nationwide again it's one of the highest proportions of veterans. We don't know how that's calculated or why it's happened, but it's such a huge catchment area for us.
And of course this meeting happens once a month, yep. But it's kind of when you first approached us, it was kind of modelled on an existing project, Ravens Chat.
Most certainly. That's what really gave me the idea. I'd obviously, you know, I know Robin is a friend and ex-colleague. I've got a fond association with Bromley. I've come to the matches and I've seen the podcasts and I've seen, you know, social media posts, and I saw it with interest, especially after COVID, what you're doing on the Ravens. And I thought, you know something, if we did something similar for veterans, then let's see where that takes us.
And if you don't mind me asking this one, a more personal question, what's your background and what's given you the drive to follow through and do this? Because you had your career in business as well.
Yes.
So two very kind of different strings to your bow, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. So as I said earlier, you know, I served between 1976 and 86, and that encompassed the Falklands War, etc. You know, and like many veterans, we've probably gone through silently or whatever, a lot of trials and tribulations over the years. And so when I left in 86, there was there wasn't any available and relevant of veterans associations or help, you know. If I look now, if 10% of what's available now, goodness me, It's been a lot easier for me over the years. So the big challenge will be, you know, the awareness now for all those veterans in our area, our catchment area, is to make them aware of what is available, you know, and because, you know, we've got lots of different generations of veterans. So we have the people from World War II going all the way up to Afghan and Iraq, and, you know, lots of different age groups there that are probably not aware of the help that's needed, the help that they have available to them. So having this Bromley, from Team Bromley group of associations and charities, you know, we can help them get that help if they need it.
And as a professional football organisation, really, it's quite rare to find other clubs that do this. There are one or two across the country, but this is something quite unique that we've got going on here.
Oh, I think so. And it's something we can really build on. I'm quite excited, and we're both very excited about building on this and see exactly where it takes us. And don't get me wrong, there will be veterans that just want to turn up, you know, that miss the camaraderie, miss that special bond, and just want to get together once a month. And that's really where it's geared. A bit like the Ravens chat, get them together once a month, a bit of banter, a bit of breakfast. And out of those that do need any assistance, we've got the help there. But if not, it's a case of getting together and growing that band of brothers, really, growing and see where it takes us. You know, there's all sorts of ideas that we have between us.
And of course, we've identified Anthony and John, who are veterans in our fan base, members of Ravens Chat as well. There'll be some that aren't members of Ravens Chat.
Yes.
What would you say to those people listening that might be umming and ahhing?
You know, there's an open invitation now, you know, as starting from next Friday the 28th and every Friday until the end of the year. Come and join us. Come and join us and see what it's about. If anyone has any transport issues, again, get in contact with us. We can pick you up from Bromley South or whatever. But come and see what we're all about. No idea on numbers, where it'll take us. I think you said that the Ravens chat started off with a few, and then we're up to 30s and 40s.
Snowballed, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to replicate that. But, you know, we've got two already that we know is definitely going to come on Friday. But I'm hoping and I'm expecting, you know, quite a few more.
Graham, it's always great to catch up. And if people want to find out more, they can head to our website, bromleyfc.org. Everything is there, including some brilliant photos from the launch with the manager, Andy Woodman, and the Chelsea pensioners as well.
Yes.
It was a fantastic day, and I'm really looking forward to working with you and making this a monthly success, if you like.
Lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you for all your support. I'm looking forward to the journey ahead.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you.
Thank you to Graham for not only the interview, but for his continued positivity and support and drive to really take this forward. And I've got no doubt that we're going to make a huge success of it. And I really look forward to being a part of it and, continuing to have an impact in any way that I can and in any way that we can as a community trust. So big thank you to him. Moving on, and it's another special segment for you. We just keep firing them out today, don't we? I feel like we're on fire a little bit. We're on fire. We really are. And I'm quite pleased with this podcast, actually, he says, so far. That's only the bits that haven't been outtakes, by the way. This guy is a legend. There's no doubt about it. He's here every week. He's committed as you like. It's the one and only Roy Oliver. Here's Roy Remembers. Roy, welcome back. We've had our first two pre-season games now, and I know you've been at them both. How did you enjoy those?
Oh, I thought they were very good games. As we all know, it's about getting players up to speed and see how they work together. So you've had some first teamers, you've had some trialists and academy players. So, I've enjoyed them.
It's really good to, as you touch on there, be seeing consistently young players being given a chance by Andy Woodman.
It's about getting those players, improving their games, getting them into the first team and then making that big step up into hopefully league football.
Thank you, Roy. Always great to hear on your take on things current. But we're here to talk about Roy Remembers.
Yeah.
What do you remember today?
So I'm going to talk about, a lot of people have been asking me about all our former grounds. So I'm going to give you an insight into where we played and when. So let me kick off on that.
Go for it. Floor's yours.
Right. So we started off obviously playing at White Hart Field. For those people who, in Bromley, you don't know where the White Hart Field is, it's behind the Glades. In the High Street, if you go up the High Street, then you've got National Westminster Bank. Just beyond that, you've got two or three shops, what have now closed down, Top Shop and all that. That's where the White Hart pub used to be. But it was an old staging inn. It went back hundreds of years because there's a change horses there. People used to stop over the night in the inn and then pick up and have a stagecoach or whatever it was to move on to their travels. So behind there was the White Hart Field. So it started off as that, and then it became the Queen's Gardens because Queen Victoria opened it. And now it's resorted back to the White Hart Cricket Fields, which is strictly untrue because they play football, cricket and rugby there. So that's where Bromley first started. So that was 1892-93. And then we moved down to the Potma Shortlands there, if you've got the railway right in front of you. So we know where Moyers we played, because often reports will say we played towards the water tower, which is the other side of the railway. So we only played there one season, and then we moved to Glebe Road. So if you don't go down College Road, the first road on the right is Glebe Road. If you walk right down the bottom there, it's at sort of an angle. I can't remember, I think it's Aldermary Road, it might be, what goes along there. But right on that corner there used to be entrance to the Glebe Road ground. So we played there from 1893 up to 1899. And then we moved down to Crescent Road, which is further down College Road, which is on the right. You go around the corner, past Forward Lane, and it's the first turn on the right. And that's Crescent Road. And we played, if you walk down and as the road goes around the bend, we played down sort of, I'd say, three quarters of the way down there. And there were big gardens. And I know my ex-governor, Kevin Freeney, they lived there. So there were big gardens, and that's where the ball went over into the garden, and the guy put the pitchfork through it. So we played there from 1899 to 1904. And then we moved down to Hayes Lane, which was the old pitch. So if you're walking down the lane from the ground, the last field on the right used to be the old sports ground. And I've got all the plans for all these pitches, what we used to play at. And so we played there from 1904 to 1938. So if you're turning right outside down the lane there, all them houses from there right round to Hayes Road were not there. In fact, if you look opposite Hayes Road, you'll see one newer house and one older hands. I'm digressing with my hands here. and then the Norman Estates wanted to build houses on the outside of the land. So they offered us this bit of land, what we've got now. I think the price was £1,700 over 25 years. I'll check that out anyway, but I think it's round about that, Matt, to buy this ground, so which we did. And then we've been here since 1938. And if anyone wants to see the plans, just let me know and I'll show them.
Wow. I enjoy listening to your stories and your recollections and your knowledge so much. And I know everybody at home does as well. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
It's always great to hear from you. And actually, you've responded this week to the demand of the listeners, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. Because if you read programs from years back, they've all got down that we paid at Widmore Road and we never paid at Widmore Road. I think where they get confused is if you go down College Road, that bit from Glebe Road there, down Crescent Road, that used to be called the Plasto Lanes. So they're endowment lanes and Plasto Cricket Club used to play there. And in fact, when we moved down there, Bromley Town Cricket Club moved down there as well. So they've been following us around everywhere since we've been everywhere.
Incredible, isn't
it?
Roy, thank you so much, as always, for your time. And we look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Yes, yeah.
Take care.
Yeah, cheers.
Moving on then from that one. Roy, thank you so much. I gave Roy some memorabilia that we had donated to us today, and it was like a kid at Christmas, honestly. It's absolutely brilliant to see. And, of course, big up to the rest of the Ravens chat group. It's a pleasure having them here every Thursday. And if you are over the age of 15 and you want to get involved with Ravens chat, you can head to our community website, bromleyfc.org, to find out more about that. And a big thank you to Christine Atkinson and various Rotary clubs in Bromley for their support of Ravens chat. Now, just a quick couple of notices for you before we finish what has been quite an involved podcast, I think. We've had quite a lot of people having their say today, which is good. The under-21s played host to Reading on Wednesday, and they lost out, unfortunately, despite going a goal up. And that's the first meeting since the FA Youth Cup a couple of years ago, which was a brilliant game of football, wasn't it? And I think it just shows, actually, how good Reading's youth setup is on a consistent basis. But actually, we matched them for the first part of that game, and it's going to be a good experience, Josh, for our boys to take forward.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like you said, we played them in the FA Youth Cup, and obviously some of those lads in our team, some of the lads in their team will have come up against each other again yesterday. So, it's good. Just like we're testing ourselves against so-called tougher players when we're playing players from Palace, Millwall, etc. So, yeah, it's good that the 21s are doing similar.
Absolutely. Brilliant to see. And good luck to them in their upcoming games. Don't forget, as we mentioned earlier on, this Millwall game on Saturday is not just one, it's two. It's a double header. The under-18s from...
It doesn't start at 11:30.
It doesn't. It all starts a lot before that. Let's come on to that in a second. But the kickoff is 11:30, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Before that game. But everything starts a lot earlier. We'll come on to that in a minute. And the other game kicking off at 3:00, like Josh said earlier, one ticket gets you into both. And members, season ticket holders, come in for free anyway to those. So, as you mentioned there, Josh, we have our big football day on Saturday. So it all starts with Mini Ravens at 8:00, our brand new provision for 18 months to just under four-year-olds getting involved in football and ball skills for the first time. That starts at 8:00. More information on that at bromleyfc.org. If you've got a child of that age, do bring them down. Then we've got England Women versus Haiti at 10:30. And what we're doing is we're having what we're calling a big football day, which is supported by the FA. And that is to promote the women's game, as well as watching this England versus Haiti game at 10:30 in the Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is we're going to have our main soccer schools as usual, but we're going to have all of our girls' soccer schools in the same hour, 9:00, on the stadium pitch, all together. And then they're all going to go and watch the game together afterwards. And we're going to have members of our other female community here at Bromley Football Club, some of the women's team. We're going to have community participants, females from across the ages and their families as well. It's going to be great, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be good. And we've obviously spoken to Andrea, who's our head of women and girls. And the running order of the day looks really good. And the fact that we're offering that free football session as well. Yeah, it's going to be a good day, and hopefully the Lionesses can win as well.
Fingers crossed. Certainly be keeping tabs on that one. And brilliant work from Andrea, and something that we've been involved with very heavily as a trust. So really hoping it goes very well. We've got a big uptake on the session so far, and a big uptake on coming to watch the game from that community. So brilliant stuff. Really looking forward to it. And continuing on the women's football theme, we've got the women's team who return to Hayes Lane on Sunday, taking on Aylesford Ladies, and that is a free entry for that one. So take this opportunity to get in there and watch the Bromley women, and you won't be disappointed. It's going to be a great weekend of football here at Hayes Lane.
Yeah, really good. Really, really good. Three games, one weekend. You can't
complain, can you? Well, what more can you want? What more could you want? I think that's it, Josh. I think we've covered everything now.
I think we have, yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening.
I feel like we've paced through that.
We have, but we've had a lot of people joining us today, which is exactly what people want.
Yeah.
And exactly what we want as well. Thank you all so much for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Josh, thank you for joining me, and we'll be back with you next week. Don't forget to come on down to that Millwall game. If you can't make it and you've got an acceptable excuse, you can join us on the commentary over on Mixlr. Thanks very much once again, and we'll see you all soon. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.